I'm Bob Garfield, and this is episode 3 of the ingeniously titled series, Bob's Docs. Episodes 1 and 2 covered manipulation and access. This week's theme is prurience, and yes, we do all like to watch. And what we were watching with slack jaws in 2011 was the slow-motion car wreck that was the career of New York Congressman Anthony Weiner. Once a rising star in the Democratic Party and husband of Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman, Huma Abedin, Weiner saw his career implode thanks to one bad tweet.
It all started Friday night at 11:30 p.m.
A photo of an anonymous man's bulging underwear
was tweeted from Congressman Weiner's account.
Tell me definitively, is that a photograph of you?
I'm reluctant to say to you definitively anything about this.
So it's possible.
And we're trying to get to the bottom of what it's of and who it's of.
Weiner denied the charges, then admitted to them, and finally resigned. Another politician brought down by the deadly combination of lust, hubris, and technology. But 2 years later, Weiner was back, this time running for mayor of New York City. He was a new man. He had repented. He wanted to talk about the issues. But the people and the pundits were dubious. As it turned out, they were right. Within a few months, Weiner once again was humiliated by a sexting scandal and forever branded as his nom de plume, Carlos Danger.
Under the screen name
Carlos Danger.
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 Carlos Danger.
I assume it was to avoid using a ridiculous name like Anthony Weiner.
But before his indiscretions dashed his career for a second time, Weiner agreed to let a pair of documentary filmmakers record his mayoral campaign. Indeed, his entire life, hoping that they would capture not his downfall, but his redemption. Elise Steinberg is a writer and documentary film director. Josh Kriegman is a director and former political consultant. Together, they produced and directed Weiner. They start the film with this clip of Weiner back when he was a congressman shaking things up, in a good way, in Washington, D.C.
You vote yes if you believe yes. You vote in favor of something if you believe it's the right thing. If you believe it's the wrong thing, you vote no. We are following a procedure. I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order.
It was important for us to establish, you know, where he had come from. And one of the key things about his history is that he really was a rising star in the Democratic Party.
It was an absolute pleasure to see a Democrat not cowering.
No question, the guy knows how to fight.
He's scrappy, he's combative, he's always been a great fighter on behalf of the people.
He never backed down from anybody.
You should urge them to vote yes, something the gentleman has not done.
He was one of the best in politics at understanding kind of the contours of modern media, whether it's, you know, going viral on YouTube or using Twitter or, you know, clips on cable news.
The tools of modern media, oy vey, they built him up and they, of course, were his undoing. Would you have focused on this campaign had it not been for his kind of sordid history?
When we began filming, we thought this could be a remarkable comeback story. And when we were in the middle of the filming, I guess it was 6 weeks in, Anthony was at the top of the polls. And it would have been an exciting story had he won. But then, obviously, things took an unexpected turn, and our documentary, from a story perspective, changed.
Breaking news just into our newsroom in New York City. The New York mayoral candidate Anthony Weiner sent additional explicit photos and texts to a woman online.
Unexpected turn, Elise? Based on what you knew of him and what you knew from him, you didn't see that coming?
I didn't know Anthony prior to working on this film. Josh had known him, but I didn't. And in many ways, I was just like the audience, watching the events unfold. But what I realized when I met Anthony and I looked through the footage was that I saw a much more complex, nuanced person. And that was the story that we were excited to tell.
And that was the story clearly you pitched to him, right? In order for him to make the fairly counterintuitive move of opening up his entire life to filmmakers in the midst of his attempted comeback.
Yeah, you know, it was a conversation that actually went on over the course of a couple of years. It was right after he resigned from Congress that I started a conversation with him about doing a documentary and telling his story. You know, of course, you know, he was hoping for a comeback story. And in the first 6 weeks of filming, the first half of the campaign or so, despite a lot of pundits counting him out or thinking he was a joke to begin with, he was, you know, rose to the top of the polls. And as filmmakers, we felt we might be capturing really one of the more remarkable comeback stories in American political history.
And then you managed to document one of the most remarkable uncomeback from comebacks.
As documentarians, we couldn't believe that we were there. We couldn't believe that we were in the room while this was unfolding.
The question is, do we answer it or not? I think we have to answer these questions.
I think we have to answer because if somebody else comes out, we don't.
So, okay. So you're gonna give me an answer.
The greatest documentaries are the ones where you go in with a certain expectation of the story and then it dramatically changes.
You know, one of the things that we knew going into the story was whatever happens in the headlines and the tabloids and the cable news, the contrast between that and what we were hopefully going to be able to capture behind the scenes, that was something that we knew, you know, however it all unfolded, was what we were excited about capturing in the documentary and what we, in general, what excites us about documentaries.
And then, perhaps most mysteriously, there's Wiener's wife, Huma Abedin. Throughout the film, at various points, she is offering strategy and tactics to him. At other points, she is standing at a podium in front of a press scrum, voicing her support for his candidacy.
When we faced this publicly 2 years ago, it took a lot of work and a whole lot of therapy to get to a place where I could forgive Anthony.
And various other points, she's just sitting there looking really pissed off. This is a moment where her husband is trying to show her an interview he did, a very contentious cable interview, and he's trying to get her take on it.
You knew, Anthony, that you were a gravely damaged candidate.
I said so.
He's crazy. Who do you think looks better than me or him?
Why are you laughing? This is crazy.
It's terribly crazy, but what was I supposed to do? I mean, tell me what I was supposed to do. This is where it continued.
No. Focus on your speech. Get it started for a minute.
This makes me feel better. This makes me get more fight in me, less emotional.
Oh, really?
At one point, she mutters about living in a nightmare. Did you feel guilty being an eyewitness to her ongoing nightmare?
One of the things that was really exciting for us was to show what it means to be caught up in a media firestorm, the humanity behind the headlines.
There's so much impulse to judge, especially in the reality of sort of the modern media culture where everything comes through these tiny snippets, tweets, and cable news sound bites and things. It's such a reductive flurry that we get. And so, you know, so much of the intention of the film is to spend some time with these people and to see that it's complicated and that this idea that we could possibly know what's going on, you know, in anybody's relationship, I think is worthy of scrutiny.
And especially, you know, with Huma, there was this judgment against her. Huma, along with many other women, have been criticized for staying with their husbands who have done something wrong or embarrassing.
Huma Abedin, what is the simple explanation for why she decided to get out there in front of this?
I fall back to the Blaise Pascal, the philosopher, who said, the heart has its reasons, of which reason knows nothing.
I counter that with Shakespeare. Has she eaten on the insane root that devours intellect and takes reason prisoner?
And, you know, our film is to question those types of judgments. I mean, shouldn't a woman be able to make her own decisions without judgment? And why should they be judged for decisions made by their flawed husbands? Our hope with this film is to go beyond those judgments and to question them.
One of the most poignant moments in the film, seems to me, comes when Wiener, like many a politician, has utterly lost traction with the voters with Election Day fast approaching. And, you know, he becomes sort of the Black Knight from Monty Python, and he's denying the predicament he's in until he has a very fraught conversation with his pollster.
There's no chance to win anymore. Winning is now defined as, if Anthony wants to continue here, keeping his head high and saying something that matters and getting some at least grudging respect back. I don't think there's a path anymore to get to a runoff. So this is a solo flight.
You know, after the clip that you just played, you know, he jokes about being liberated in a death row kind of way. And I think that when the race was mostly lost and he knew that his chances of victory were slim, you know, it freed him up to continue to go out there and basically just champion what he was fighting for. There's a later scene in City Island in the Bronx where he takes a room that's initially very much opposed to him, and he stands up in front of them and he gives an impassioned speech, and he basically says, I'm not going to go away because this embarrassing thing happened. I'm actually talking about something I care about.
Do you think it was easy? Let's go to City Island knowing that I'd get this question. The reason I did that is because I'm trying to communicate something here. These are my ideas. I care about them. You did something we don't like. Cameras in your face. Change your mind. Back down. Quit. That's not the kind of mayor I'm going to be. Sir, I say to you with all due respect, do not vote for me, but don't deny these people the right to vote.
Much of the depictions of the media in the film are of them just schooling around Wiener, you know, like barracudas around a sick grouper. Are the media a villain in this story or something else?
That's a great question. The media is, without a doubt, a main character in the story. Anthony says this in the film. You know, the media has this rhythm that he's well aware of, and he got into the campaign with his eyes wide open, understanding the way that it might go.
They love stoking it. They love talking about it. They love building me up, having me on their show so they can excoriate me and everything else. But let's make this very clear. I mean, I did the thing, though. So it's not their fault that they played their role. They just were doing, you know, it's the frog and the scorpion.
And I think that's right. I think the media certainly has its role to play, you know, in the way that the political conversation is driven so much by spectacle. But of course, Anthony has his role to play as well. And we as consumers have our role to play.
One of the things that was important to us with this film is that it would go beyond just one person or one campaign, that it would provide a look at how our politics today is just driven by an insatiable appetite for spectacle and entertainment. And we don't have to look very far to see that being played out with Donald Trump. While I think Anthony and Trump are very different politically and personally, I do think that they both understood that in order to be a successful politician in today's 24-hour news cycle, you need to put on a show. By being brash and having an air of authenticity, you get votes.
Well, in case anyone in the audience has forgotten, Election Day came, and Wiener just got absolutely thumped. He ended up with about 5% of the vote. And after that, we see you asking him why the hell would he have sat down with you during this period to begin with. And he literally just shrugs. But a little bit later, you get the answer to your question.
I wanted just to be viewed as the full person that I was. And I can't believe my entire everything is being engulfed by this thing. And maybe that's what happens.
Is that really the truth, do you think?
I think it was the truth. I think it's been said that those that are the most exposed are the least revealed. And that was certainly the case with Anthony.
Look, Anthony, of course, I think we can all sort of recognize is the kind of person who is in some ways more comfortable when a camera is pointed at him. You know, that's an element of who he is. I think in some ways it's an element of our politicians in general. It's kind of a requirement. You know, if you're not excited about seeing your picture in the paper in the morning, you're not going to make it very far. But I'd also say, you know, to what he says to us at the end of the film, you know, remember, he's a really smart guy. He had been through this scandal and media firestorm once already, and he'd had this experience of having his whole reputation, his whole person just entirely wiped out and replaced with this one thing. Having another version of his story documented and told, it might be something that in the end he can appreciate.
I want to play Family Feud. I want you to answer me simultaneously, okay? The question is Anthony Wiener a courageous political leader and public servant or an exhibitionist?
You're gonna hate this response, but I think we have to refuse.
Actually, the answer I was looking for was yes.
I mean, yeah, the answer is yes. I think that's exactly right.
Yes, both, yes.
And that's the point of the film, and obviously that's what you're getting at.
At least, Josh, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Elyse Steinberg and Josh Kriegman are the directing team behind the documentary Wiener, which traces the rise and fall of former New York Congressman Anthony Wiener's 2013 mayoral campaign. In May, Wiener pled guilty to a felony obscenity charge, ending a federal investigation into his sending pictures and messages to a 15-year-old girl. His sentencing hearing is scheduled for September. Next week, the fourth and final episode in our summer series, Bob's Docs, themed, This Time It's Personal. I'm Bob Garfield.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.